Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hello and welcome aboard the Vanessa and Gallant radio program. I am Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. We're looking forward to talking to you today. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Vanessa, again, not with us today. And I don't know if you guys saw on her social media, but she did post that her father passed away. And it's heartbreaking. It really is. I've only known Vanessa for a short amount of time, but she talked about her dad a whole lot, a guy who was courageously fighting MS, which is a just awful, awful disease. Something that my own aunt fought. And he fought it really hard, but unfortunately, he's no longer with us. And for I really hope that, and you guys have been great about this, but I really hope that you guys send some love, some prayers, Vanessa's way, her family's way. You know, life is like this. It's made up of comings and goings. And I think what you try to do with all of those people that you love in your life that eventually leave this world is you try to honor their memory by doing all the things that you loved about them, being all the things, all the traits that they were. And I'd also say this, and I'm happy Vanessa got the opportunity to do this, to have those last moments last week with her dad, who I'm sure she's going to share a lot of stories about when she does come back with us. Obviously, I hope she takes her time. Definitely miss her. I know we all miss her and the back and forth that we've been able to have on the show. And I would just encourage anybody, you know, life is too short. There's never any reason to hold on to a grudge with somebody that you've cared about it's for a long period of time or any person that you have strong feelings for. Tell them you love them today. Send them a hi, because it'll mean the world to them. And again, you know, you never know with these things, but we're really thinking about Vanessa right now. We're thinking about her dad and we're thinking about her family and can't wait to have her back in here. Alas, the show must go on, and I don't really know how to transition from talking about something so serious, something that we all experience over the course of our life, back into sports, which is so damn meaningless and all things considered. But I'm going to try to do it. And I do have a question today, because tomorrow is Astros opening day. I can't believe it's finally here. I'm so excited to be back for this. You guys don't understand how much I missed it the last 2 years. Nothing wrong with covering the Seattle Mariners. Last year was a fun season for them, but no experience in my sports broadcasting career is ever going to hold a candle to being on the air the night that the Astros won their first World Series. Nothing. 8 hours of fun, champagne, yelling, hooting, hollering, celebrating with y'all. And I'm excited to be back to cover this team again, because I wasn't here for the World Series in 2019. I wasn't here at all in 2020 or most of 2021. And I want to see if this team's going to be able to keep things going. And you know what? I mean, we know the Astros. The best team in baseball the last 5 years. What do we fear? Nothing. We know baseball better than everyone, entirely based off of either, one, where our parents had the relations, or two, because we moved here and we jumped on that bandwagon. That's what your boy did right here. Strut around town, shoulders back. We're the chosen people. We are better than other people. Oh, you cheated? Yeah, and they didn't take the trophy away. We're better people. 162-0 this season? Certainly possible. Hope springs eternal. Our enemies always lose. Our enemies can't prevail. We are glorious. We are eternal. Blah, 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 blah. But okay. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, let me ask you something. I got a question. I'm whispering it because we don't want anyone else to hear it. The Astros aren't entirely perfect. And what are you most concerned about with them going into this season? 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. ESPN. We're going to introduce something to explain how maybe nervous we are about certain elements of the Astros going into this year. Like my good friend Mike Meltzer, who I used to work with on the radio on the other side of town. He was always scared, always nervous, always a little paranoid about something. And I thought there's no better way than to describe anxiety, fear, panic, freaking out, than using somebody like Nick Cage. Who's excited for that movie coming out, huh? Nicolas Cage? Pedro Pascal? Pedro Pascal?
It's Pascal.
Pascal, thank you very much, Sean Mayfe, behind the glass. Listen, I try so hard, I got so far, but this movie that's coming out, The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, has a 100 on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm so pumped. Nicolas Cage is playing himself. It's going to be amazing.
Sold right there. Nicolas Cage in this new movie playing himself. I'm there front row with popcorn.
He's got a sense of humor about himself, which I can really appreciate. And this is something that he also did once on Saturday Night Live, where he and Andy Samberg were up at the front table. They were next to each other, dressed as each other. Nick Cage was keeping a straight face, and Andy Samberg was doing a pretty good impersonation of Nicolas Cage. Anyway, Nicolas Cage freaks out in every single movie that he's in. Is it melodramatic acting? Is it bad acting? I don't care. I just love it. I love the hurricane that is Nicolas Cage. So I thought to myself, I'm going to introduce something that I brought up to Seattle with me. It's called the Nicolas Cage Scale of Panic. Goes from 1 to 5. 1 is the lowest. So 1, you're feeling pretty good. Everything is fine. Here's Nicolas Cage feeling good about himself.
The situation, it's very important to remain calm.
So he's calm, but I mean, he's driving a car 100 miles per hour and he's screeching tire wheels like that. It goes all the way up to 5. 5, oh no. Things are bad. It's over. There's no fixing this. I'm really nervous. I'm about to be killed by bees.
Oh, no, no, not the bees! Not the bees! Ah!
So over the course of today's show, and you can again text in 713-780-3776 or call in 713-780-ESPN. At Gallant says on Twitter, twitch.tv/ESPN975. What are you most concerned about for the Astros going into this year? You bring it onto the table. Bring it to the table. We will talk about it, and we will give it on a 1 to 5 scale of Nick Cage panic how freaked out we are about it. The thing that I am most concerned about, it's got to be Jeremy Peña. Jeremy Peña replacing Carlos Correa this year. I mean, Jeremy Peña is the Astros' top prospect. He's a guy that suffered a wrist injury last year, so didn't probably get the amount of seasoning that you would have liked to see him get. Did make it to the 40-man roster at the end of the year. Hitting the ball pretty well in spring training, but it's spring training. You got to take it with a grain of salt. And you also have to remember that the most important thing for Jeremy Peña this coming season when he's in the major leagues is going to be, how does he handle his first slump? How is Peña going to do this year? So for me, that is the thing I am most concerned about. Because you're replacing Carlos Correa, a guy who has been there, done that, been through the wars, who has always shown a marked confidence in himself, a guy who has shaken off the haters, the cheating alligators, all of those folks. That guy always delivered. He got hurt from time to time, and you could understand why the Astros moved on from him to an extent, but when you see the contract that he signed with the Minnesota Twins, the Astros could have matched that. And I really hope that Carlos Correa, there's still time. The Twins' first game of the year was postponed. Due to, what do you think it was postponed to? Snow! First game of the season for the Twins. Postponed. Snow. Actual thing that happens. That's Minnesota for you. Carlos, it's not too late. You can still check out. So on a scale of 1 to 5, how freaked out am I about Jeremy Peña replacing Carlos Correa? I am at a 4. That is called terrified paranoia. Not quite a 5. But we're approaching it on the Nicolas Cage scale of panic.
Someone's going to kill me, man!
I'm concerned. Now, I think that you do have to look at the Astros and their history over the last couple of years. They have been able to withstand losing key pieces. Starting with Gerrit Cole, George Springer. You have seen them obviously move on from Carlos Correa this offseason. We'll see how that goes. Zach Greinke, too, to a lesser extent. The last two, they have been able to fix, not fix, but fill the gap, if you will. Is this going to be the first one that's different? Like, they actually have earned a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. That's why I'm out of four. But it is different. It's not Jeff Luhnow. It's James Click. It's not either somebody that is, I don't know, like a Michael Brantley or something like that, who you look at and you say, okay, well, he can make up for some of George Springer's lack of production. We have Kyle Tucker in the farm system. He's going to be a potential all-star, so it's going to be fine to move on from Springer. Tucker's going to be Springer in a couple of years. But with Pena, I can't sell myself on it yet. I need to see it, and I hope I'm surprised. But what are you freaked out about when it comes to the 2022 Houston Astros with opening day upon us tomorrow? 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. The Astros did make a move yesterday with some of the savings that they got from Carlos Correa's contract. I will tell you what that move is next right here. Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
No Vanessa today. She's up with her family in Indianapolis, in case you didn't see on her social media this morning. Her father passed away, which is just absolutely horrible. And thinking about her, we're thinking about her family, and we're hoping that they're all sharing some great memories of him together. I think Vanessa had a really nice write-up last night on social media, just talking about all the things that he did for her over the course of her life, and looking forward to hearing more about it when she's back with us, because that's what radio is. You're with somebody every single day for years at a time. They become your siblings, essentially. You know, maybe siblings that you're yelling at it over and over again about stupid things like sports, but we're all thinking about Vanessa today. 713-780-3776. I'm Paul Gallant. We got Sean Mapes behind the glass. 713-780-ESPN. Today, I want to keep this on the table for the entirety of the show. What are the things that you are most concerned about when it comes to the Houston Astros going into the 2022 season? The Astros did make a move yesterday, and maybe this comes as a result of the savings from moving on from Carlos Correa, but their best pitcher, Ryan Pressly, in the bullpen, has agreed to a two-year, $30 million extension for 2023 and 2024 with an option for 2025. It's always difficult to predict what a closer, what a relief pitcher is going to be able to give you year to year. It's one of the reasons that when the Mariners actually traded Kendall Graveman to the Astros, I thought to myself, this makes sense for the Astros, because Graveman, you look at him and you're like, hey, he's pitching awesome this year. But for the Mariners, you look at him and you're like, hey, this is probably the best he has looked. He is finally in a bullpen role for the first time in his career. Is he going to be able to replicate this? Is he going to be able to keep it going? It's hard. So I like this move for the Astros, but at the same time, we'll see if this is one of those moves that year in, year out, Pressly is pitching at the level that we have seen him pitch recently. I do have to say on this, as far as concerns going into this year, I'm not a great gauge of bullpens. I know you could take a look at statistics, and generally bullpens are not as bad as you think they are. But I got to say, bullpens freak me the hell out, and I always am one of those people that will completely disregard the statistics. I will look at certain pitchers, and I know I don't feel comfortable with that guy in the hill. And I do feel like right now with the Astros, there is only one guy that I truly feel comfortable with out there. So I'm hoping that by the trade deadline, they will make some sort of move to bring in another bullpen arm. Because, you know, we look at the bullpen. Some of the questions that you have about them have to do with who they're going to throw out there against lefties. I mean, in the playoffs, right, it was Phil Maton. He's right-handed. You don't want to do that. I mean, I know he played well in the playoffs. Do you expect that to continue? And you got Blake Taylor, who is a lefty. I mean, he was good against lefties, but in baseball today, with relief pitchers having to face at least three batters, I mean, he struggles against righties. So, a little concerning. But that's definitely got to be up there. I know that Ryan Pressly, having him long-term, that makes you feel pretty good down the road. But ultimately, if we're talking about the Astros bullpen going into this year, on the Nick Cage scale of panic, I'm at a three. I'm at a three, and a three sounds like this, where you're not, you know, you're not saying someone's trying to kill me, man. You're not having bees put on your face. You're freaking out like this, getting a little agitated.
What do you say we cut the chit-chat, a-hole?
Yeah. Let's cut the chit-chat, and let's seriously look at this bullpen. Please add somebody by the end of the year. The other obvious thing that you got to be concerned about when it comes to the Astros going into the season, it's the health of two guys. I saw an article in the Houston Chronicle where John Smoltz was being interviewed about coming off of Tommy John surgery. For a pitcher in their late 30s to come off of that and still be the same guy, Verlander is entering into largely uncharted waters. And while I look at Verlander, and I remember a couple of years ago, he was talking about how he is one of those players who wants to play until he's 45 years old, made me start thinking about Tom Brady, making comparisons, because I'm sure that Verlander is doing all sorts of weird stuff off the mound, perhaps with Kate Upton, that are going to keep him pitching as long as he can. But then you come off of Tommy John surgery. He's looked good this spring, but is he going to be peak Verlander, or is he going to be a very good pitcher that has come back to earth a little bit? And when you add Verlander's injury to another concern, Lance McCullers, who you never really know with, filthy stuff, but that filthy stuff maybe is one of the reasons that he's always dealing with some sort of arm injury. If those two aren't ready to go, are you good enough? The rest of your lineup, the rest of your rotation, it's Framber Valdez, you have Luis Garcia, you got some young arms, and Jose Urquidy. You have those three. Are they going to take a step forward this year? They probably have to by default. And it's nice that you have in a 28-year-old in Valdez, a 25-year-old in Garcia, and in Urquidy, a 26-year-old. I'm going to always butcher the pronunciation of that name. I think about it in my brain, and I'm like, wait a second, what? Hang on. Urquidy. Kind of like
pronounce- Nailed it.
Okay, thank you. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I don't even know if I'm nailing
Urquidy.
It. Urquidy. Those guys are all going to have to step out this year. Because I expect McCullers to miss time again when he comes back. Sort of have accepted this. And you just hope that he's ready to go for the postseason. James Click, general manager of the Houston Astros, actually had a conversation with Mark Berman of Fox 26. I think it was over Zoom. And this is the latest when it comes to one Lance McCullers.
Lance is feeling really good. He's been going through the treatment for that elbow injury, and he's scheduled to start throwing the baseball again here in a few days. We'll see how that ramp up goes. And, you know, if he can get back out there and start throwing and getting built up, we're going to be looking at quite a few weeks of build up. It'll be like him starting spring training all over again, and we want him built up so that he can help us provide some real length in the rotation. But this team is built for October. We're planning for October. And so we've got a long way to go to get there. We're not going to rush it with Lance McCullers.
I like that they're not going to rush it. But when you hear him say quite a few weeks, I mean, it's going to be a spring training kind of ramp up. It's probably a month plus, bare minimum, if not longer. And you hate to hear that because you wonder, as a competitor, is Lance McCullers going to be patient? Is he going to be able to see the long game? I'm sure he is, just having been here as part of this Astros team for the three World Series appearances, the five ALCS appearances. I'm sure there's a part of him that realizes, yeah, I got to take it easy. But if you're an athlete, you want to get back out there. You're going to probably push yourself to get back out there as best you can. Maybe along the way, you screw something up. So as far as the health of Verlander and McCullers this year, right now, it's early. You know, I suppose this is a little bit haughty, arrogant, but I'm at a two on the Nick Cage scale of panic, which means that I could pee my pants down the road, but right now I'm not about to pee my pants.
If you excuse me, I have to use the little boy's wee-wee room.
What a great movie Face Off is. Caster Troy. I'm Caster Troy! I'm Caster Troy! And John Travolta, too. As far as just over-the-top melodramatic actors, I don't think it was possible to get two people more ridiculous in the same room unless Tom Cruise had some sort of a supporting role in that movie. And you got to say, Nick Cage, That Run, Face Off, Con Air, and I believe, could be wrong on this, The Rock. We're all talking a year and a half?
And three straight, like boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom. Summer blockbuster, summer blockbuster, summer blockbuster. Never work again, right? Don't be in The Sorcerer's Apprentice. Don't be in the two movies that seemed like they were exactly the same, Next and Knowing, even though they are slightly different in their own unique ways. I haven't seen all of Pig. I probably need to at some point in time. And I'm sure that there's a freak out along the way in that movie that's absolutely delicious. But where are you at when it comes to concerns for the Houston Astros going into the season, seeing as it's right around the corner? 713-780-3776 is how you text in. You can also tweet me at Gallant Says. I did tweet the question out there, so you can respond to that. At Sean A. Mapes as well is how you dive in. So some of the responses that I got on Twitter were pretty much the same things that we have been talking about here. We're talking about McCullers. We're talking about Verlander. We're talking about replacing Carlos Correa. That's funny. I asked the question out here. Josh, and his my buddy, responds, they'll finish ahead of your Mariners, liberal. I'm going to have to work on the whole. First off, not liberal. Second off, we're going to have to work. Could have to work on the whole open relationship thing with the Astros and Mariners. Because, like, if the Astros play the Mariners, I'll root for the Astros. But I do want the Mariners to succeed. And yesterday, I just found out that T-Mobile gives you free MLB TV for the whole year through this, like, app that they have, which I guess is like the T-Mobile Tuesdays. It's like Taco Tuesdays, essentially, for T-Mobile. They're just randomly giving out memberships to MLB.TV. This is Brian responded. Depth in their lineup. After losing Springer and Correa the last 2 years, they feel like one injury away from being just average. I don't agree with that. You know, the lineup is actually not a concern I have. That would be a one on the Knicks Cage scale of panic. Because you got Yuli, Jordan, Kyle, Alex Bregman, Altuve, Brantley. Like, that's six guys that you're like, those are plus players. You're feeling pretty good on that front. But I want to hear from you. We'll keep this going over the course of this morning's show. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. I have wondered if we will ever get any smidgens of truth from Deshaun Watson in the coming weeks, months, years. Sounds like we might, but not from the massage therapists that you were expecting. I'll explain how next right here. Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Vanessa's up in Indianapolis with her family. Her father passed away, and really appreciating seeing all the wonderful messages coming in. Twitch.tv/ESPN975 for Vanessa, and I'll be sure to relay them to her. Also on the text line, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Just me, Paul Gallant, and Sean Mapes behind the glass. Let's awkwardly transition. Do you like free stuff? Free stuff, free stuff. I like free stuff. You like free stuff. And guess what? We're giving away 4 packs of tickets to the Bon Temps Roulette Cajon Throwdown. So right now, caller number 3 to 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. You're going to get a 4-pack of tickets to the annual Bon Temps Roulette Cajon Throwdown. It features world-class Cajun cuisine. It's going to have a crawfish cook-off, Cajun cuisine, awesome Louisiana Cajun music, a great family atmosphere. The Bon Temps Roulette Cajon Throwdown will take place this weekend at the Good Old Days Fairgrounds in Hitchcock, Texas. I'm going to be there on Friday night. I know the boys of the Wheelhouse are going to be there on Saturday afternoon. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. So come on down and let's talk about some Astros. Let's talk about our concerns, which you can continue to bring to the table. But before we dive back into that topic, we might get some truth from Deshaun Watson about his relationships with his massage therapists. So when Deshaun Watson was trying to essentially pump his own tires in the court of public opinion, he produced statements of support from other massage therapists whose services he used. And we're not talking about the 22 who have raised civil claims against him. We're talking about pressed civil charges against him. We're talking about the supporting therapists, which is going to be interesting because remember Rusty Harden had admitted that some of Deshaun Watson's massages became consensual sexual encounters. That's the way you're going to term it for some. Can you properly term that for all of them? So a Texas judge has ruled that Deshaun Watson must respond to questions aimed at determining whether he had sex with one or more of those therapists who came to his defense. Watson had objected to providing the information, which prompted a request for the court to resolve the situation, and the judge agreed with the plaintiffs. Stands to reason that it happened. I mean, if we're just going to speculate. Okay, maybe you're one of these crazy people that thinks that 22 different women are all making things up, even though police reports found their testimony credible. Well, what's going to happen with these 18? I mean, if it happened with even one or two of the people that are alleging that Deshaun Watson acted improperly, and I mean, again, I really do think it's a pretty fair assumption to make at this point. I think it's also a fair assumption to make that one of the 18, at the very least, went further than just giving him a massage. 100%. Did it become a sexual encounter? And based off of everything that we read in the Jenny Rentis report and everything else, you're probably going to hear some interesting things coming out of the civil lawsuit against Deshaun Watson, lawsuits against Deshaun Watson in the coming days. And you can't dodge it anymore. You can't go back to the, I have never disrespected, I have never assaulted, I have never hurt any women. Can't go back to that one this time. You're going to have to answer it honestly. I'm curious as to what kind of answer he'd actually give. 713-780-3776 is the number to jump aboard. You can also text in at that same number, 713-780-ESPN. What are you most concerned about when it comes to the Houston Astros going into the 2022 season? Mark on Twitter, at Gallant Says, responded, number one, injuries. Injuries are a fair one because we're talking about Justin Verlander coming off of one. We are talking about Lance McCullers dealing with one. We're talking about Alex Bregman, who had the quad injury last year and then he had surgery on his hand. We are talking also in the outfield at a position that hasn't been discussed a whole lot, but at center field with Jake Myers out with shoulder surgery, how long is he going to be out? How's Chaz McCormick? Would you ever want to be named Chaz? I remember Chucky's dad on Rugrats was named Chaz. That's the only Chaz that I ever heard of, outside of the Chaz that I live next to that ultimately got me canceled by right-wing Twitter and led to Tucker Carlson taking a giant dump on me on national TV. It's also known as the Chop. Chaz, Chop. Was Chaz McCormick named after the autonomous zone in Seattle? I can't say. Chaz McCormick and Jose Siri. How long are they going to be filling in center field? Look, the Astros lineup, though, it's one of those things where if somebody's subbing in the outfield, I'm not like that freaked out about it. I really am not. I would say as far as injuries in the outfield, I'm at a 2 on the Nick Cage scale of panic. But as far as injuries as a whole, team that's getting up there in age, Jose Altuve, he's 31. You have Yuli Gurriel turning 38 in June. You have Michael Brantley turning 37, I believe, in May. Like, this is a team, 35 in May, my bad. This is a team that's getting a little bit older. Verlander as well. So I would say overall, when it comes to injuries, Sean Mays behind the glass, like, what is he going to say on the Nick Cage scale of panic? I'm at a 4. 4 for injuries. 162 game season. Hey, Nick Cage, what does a four sound like? Share with the class.
Someone's trying to kill me, man!
Injuries are trying to kill you. Always. He suffers too serious of an injury. And yeah, it could be something that keeps you out for the entirety of a year. Tommy John surgery, it happens. I mean, okay, Verlander and McCullers are getting up there in age comparatively. They're dealing with things of their own. But how about the young guys? Are they going to have a season where they don't suffer anything? And honestly, I look at Ryan Pressly and I'm like, God forbid anything happens to him. I think you're going to have to be careful with how you use him this year. Because your bullpen, you're not feeling great about it, but how often are you going to use Ryan Pressly? You're going to use him like every other night? Do you want to use him every other night? I don't. I mean, I want to take it pretty easy when it comes to him. And I remember when I was here last, the Astros bullpen just gives me anxiety. Not just Ken Giles, not just the Roberto Osuna experience, which I can't believe that we had to suck up. Like, that guy was going to be something special. Oh, well, let's turn the other way for the thing that can't actually be released to the public because it's in Canadian court. Let's just turn the other way. It'll be fine. And then the guy like was completely underwhelming, Osuna. Kind of sucked, to be perfectly honest, compared to the expectations. You know, you would think you give someone a chance like that, like that guy's going to be lights out. Nope, he wasn't. He's better than Ken Giles, I guess. But again, low bar to clear. Ken Giles is with the Mariners, by the way. I don't know if we'll see him this year for the Mariners, but I remember like the Mariners brought him in last offseason and I was laughing. I was like, what are you guys doing? Don't do that. You are crazy to bring in Ken Giles. You know exactly where that train takes you and it is off of the rails. You do get some self-inflicted fireworks maybe along the way, but yeah, you don't want Ken Giles on your team. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Your biggest concern for the Astros in 2022 is fill in the blank. Up next, I guess I'm supposed to be happy with what the Rockets are doing because not only is Jalen Green playing well, but everything is going according to the plan. I just hate the plan. For now, I'll tell you what it is next.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
No, Vanessa, she's up in Indianapolis with her family here. Her father passed away. Really appreciate all the comments we've been getting on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5, also on the text line. And I'll be sure to send them her way, gather them all, and show them to her. I know it's an incredibly tough time for anybody to go through the loss of a parent, something we all end up going through generally over the course of our lives, and it sucks. But, you know, you got to appreciate the time that you got with them. And I know for sure that that's something that I know I can do better myself. You know, I try to talk to my parents once a week over the phone. My mom lives up in New Jersey half the year, then Florida half the year. My stepdad, same thing. My dad lives up in Boston most of the year, so I don't get to see them that often. And I know that I got to be better on that front. And I'm really happy that Vanessa was at the very least able to share time with her father last week in Indianapolis and that she's going to spend some more time with her family, getting to talk about all the things that he helped her do over the course of her life. You know, that's what dads do. Dads are great. I know without my dad, the foray into sports media is not something that I ever would have done, whether it was him taking me to my first Celtics game when I was 6 years old, Larry Bird's at the bar. My dad has the stones to go up to Larry Bird, who was known for not wanting to talk to anybody. Goes up to Larry Bird, talks to him. Larry Bird comes over. I knew who he was. My jaw dropped to the floor. Larry Bird comes up to me and says, "You going to scream and cheer or not?" None of that happens without my dad. Dad took me to, 50 Patriots games over the course of like one of the greatest runs in NFL history. You know, dads are awesome. And I know Vanessa's dad was awesome, and he's going to be missed, that's for sure. We're talking about the things that we are most concerned about with the Houston Astros going into the 2022 season. It is opening day eve. A lot of excitement in the air, a lot of hype. I remember, you know, usually on Christmas Eve, I would not be able to go to sleep, and I would want to wake up as early as I possibly can. Opening day is not quite that for me, but being back here after 2 years in Seattle obviously has given me a much deeper appreciation for how bleeping awesome the Astros are. So I can't wait. But of course, even though we think that the Astros are a bleeping dreadnought with that lineup of theirs, with some of the starters that they have, I mean, you know, best case scenario, say everyone's healthy in your rotation, like Framber Valdez is your number three. It's one of the best rotations in baseball when healthy. It's just a matter of can they stay healthy for the entirety of the year. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. Todd the Show says, I think the pitchers getting better will offset the loss of Correa better than everyone else. Relief pitchers are probably what I'm most concerned about. I think the offense will be fine. I have zero concerns about the offense. Like, really, it's just, hey, is Alex Bregman going to be the guy that he used to be? Is he going to be able to get some of that power back? Because for whatever reason, it's kind of gone away the last couple of years. I wonder. The Houston Rockets played a basketball game last night, and it was your traditional, hey, they're getting blown out in the first half. I remember watching the halftime show. I feel bad for Kelly Griffin and for, you know, Murph. Because you got to talk about it, and you're like, okay, well, they're far away from actually being a contender. And Kaylee says, well, I mean, maybe they're going to be able to make it a close game in the second half. And actually, they did. They went on, I believe, a 15-0 run. So they pulled it to within six. It was 90-84, but ultimately, still, it's the Nets. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are too much, even if the Nets can't play defense and the Rockets can't shoot a lick from outside. Like, you know what you're getting. And now, because of that, the Rockets are in sole possession of last place in the NBA. Woo! So that means the most lottery balls come NBA draft lottery time. That's because Orlando won yesterday. So they are a game down on Orlando. I hate this. I hate tanking so much. I really do. I get it. It works. The lottery tries to minimize the amount of teams that do it. And we'll see who the Rockets could potentially get in the draft. Obviously, you want somebody other than Kevin Porter Jr. to be paired with Jalen Green. Don't even try to talk to me about all of Jalen Green's. Don't try to tell me about Kevin Porter Jr.'s 36 points yesterday. Sorry, I don't want to bleeping hear it. I don't want to hear about Kevin Porter Jr. I don't want him on this team. I just don't want him here. So this third year, clearly immature, makes boneheaded plays, bringing the ball up, not a great distributor. And you could look at last night and say, well, yeah, well, anyone he was distributing to last night couldn't hit a shot. That's fine, but Kevin Porter Jr. is 100%, I think, in the way of Jalen Green really taking leaps and bounds as a player. And Jalen Green, by the way, how about that last night? I mean, look, the one good thing that has come of this year is that even though it took a long time to get there, and even I was a little skeptical at times, Jalen Green, 30 points for a fifth straight game. There are only a couple of other players that have done that in NBA history. They're all Hall of Fame players. Like, this is a really good list that he just joined last night. Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Oscar Robertson, Rick Barry, Earl Monroe, Walt Bellamy, I don't know who that one is, and Allen Iverson. The 10th rookie in NBA history to score 30 points in five consecutive games. So he's great. You're feeling good about it. I just hate that they're tanking. I hate it. It sucks. I get how it works, but I don't like seeing it. I don't like watching Kevin Porter Jr. play the kind of basketball that just drives me crazy. I don't like point guards that are dumb with the ball. Like, be smart out there. It's like every single game there's something going on, and it would be one thing if he was a rookie. He's not. He's not a rookie anymore. Hopefully there is a day where maybe Jalen Green can be the guy that is essentially, you know, creating all of the offense. Who knows if that actually happens. I don't know if that's necessarily a possibility or if they're going to need someone to be the, quote, point guard in a sports that's becoming more and more positionless. But, hey, look, Jalen Green's playing well. Let's shift, though. This team isn't tanking, and they are officially eliminated, and it's bleeping hilarious. The Los Angeles Lakers, it's over! Woo! Congratulations! The dream team of LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Russell Westbrook not making the playoffs. And you gotta say, you know, LeBron James is a giant weenie for deleting that tweet about keeping the same energy. What a weenie! You tweet in August, yeah, people are making fun of my team of geriatrics who are all in wheelchairs, but keep that same energy. You deleted it, you baby. And this is why I don't like LeBron. It has nothing to do with LeBron James, the human being per se. It's all about the facade. I hate his social media presence. I hate how fake he is. Seems to be a good guy. Does lots of things in the community. I get it. All that stuff. But I just can't stand how fake he is. And what a weenie you are to delete that. I looked for it yesterday. I looked at it for a while. Like a long time. And I couldn't find it, guys. It took me a while. And you know who I found it from? I found it from a Lakers fan. Pac-Man Simp. He retweeted the picture, Laker fan. No, MF, you keep that same energy. How TF, we a 11th seed and missed the playoffs with three superstars. Look, Russell Westbrook, I mean, he was not a superstar anymore. Don't hop on here with King James excuses. I wonder how Laker fans feel about this right now. And I know RJ, who produces the morning show, the new producer, he's a Lakers fan. I respect people for the basketball teams that they like. But how do you feel about LeBron James essentially only giving you one championship in LA and the rest of it just being tremendously disappointing? The first year, you would think that LeBron would have turned them around immediately. Nope. Second year, they win a title. Do we give that title a full amount of credit as someone who hates the Lakers since it took place in a bubble? I'm going to say no. Last year, swept in the first round by the Suns. This year, they don't even make the playoffs. I mean, what a disappointing run. Do you even want him back? If you're the Lakers, I mean, you need him back. You're not going to do any better, but what are you pointing at for this year? Oh, Anthony Davis was hurt? Oh, Russell Westbrook was terrible? Well, I mean, should have seen the latter coming. I guess you probably should have seen the former coming too, given that Anthony Davis is always seemingly banged up. So the Rockets actually tanking, the Lakers non-intentionally tanking. It's fantastic. Keep that same energy. You wuss. You can't handle getting retweeted on Twitter. You're LeBron James. You are essentially a sports god. You might be able to own one of the teams you play for in the very near future, and you're deleting a tweet about keeping the same energy? Hold the L. Come on. You think Kevin Durant would? Is Kevin Durant known to delete tweets? I know that Kevin Durant was known to have a lot of burner Twitter accounts, and then he just decided, I'm going to do it out in the open, which I respect the hell out of. I can understand how maybe you're like a little concerned about branding opportunities if you're tweeting at people like, you trash dog and stuff like that. Or if you're out there, I guess he was in a back and forth with my old buddy Nick Wright talking about how he's a god and how Nick's a peasant or something like that. But I like that. I liked it. I mean, he's open and honest with it. As opposed to like being condescending and looking down at somebody that is smaller than him, like LeBron James would do, and then deleting the tweet like a wuss. What an absolute coward move to delete a tweet about keeping the same energy. We are keeping the same energy, LeBron. We are keeping it. I'm sorry I'm slamming the table. Did I break something? I don't know. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's Vanessa and Gallant. Vanessa's up in Indianapolis with her family. Her father passed away. She is in our thoughts. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. 713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's how you text in, too. All right. What are you most concerned about with the Houston Astros going into this season? And are we learning anything new about what the Texans might be doing come draft day? That and more next right here. Again, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.